This free resource is from the 2013 Spiritual Leadership Conference in Lancaster, California, hosted by Pastor Paul Chapel in the Lancaster Baptist Church. This lesson is on getting the most of the Word of God with Mike Lester. Mike Lester is a full-time faculty member of West Coast Baptist College, where he also serves as the academic dean.
By way of introduction, it is easy for a Christian to stare at his Bible sometimes and wonder to themselves, how am I supposed to understand that? I grew up, my dad's a pastor, my granddad was a pastor as well, so I grew up around ministry, I grew up around the Word of God, but I can remember times as a young boy looking at the Word of God and just saying, where do I start? What is he talking about? Having no point of reference at all to it as well, and just trying to look at it and trying to get my mind wrapped around it. Where do I start? How do I get something out of it? How much am I supposed to read? How much is enough? How much is too much? Is there such a thing as too much? And just trying to wrestle with them, some of those questions as a young boy, and then as a junior higher, and then in the teen department. How can I get the most out of it? Over the years, I've come to this conclusion. I don't want my Bible just to be something I check off on a daily basis. I don't want that to be how I approach it. Been there, done that, check it off, move on. That's not the goal. I want to meet with the God of the universe. Sometimes we look at this and we say, I have in my hand the Word of God. That's great. We ought to. But the flip side of that is, do we know the God of the Word? Not just the Word of God, but do we know the God of the Word? And those sort of go hand in hand in my mind. So how can this happen? How do I get the most out of it? This very question was asked about 400 years ago to a man by the name of Thomas Watson. Thomas Watson was a Puritan preacher, living from 1620 to about 1690 or so. He was asked this very question. Pastor Watson, how do I get the most out of the Word of God? And he gave a list of about 20 things. I'll read a few of them to you. He said, number one, remove all hindrances, including the love of every sin, the distracting concerns of the world. Well, that's pretty good. You want to get the most out of the Word of God? Remove all hindrances, remove the love of every sin, and you'll get more out of it. Number two, he said this, prepare your heart. Over the years, that has been something I have tried to learn and try to take to heart. There was a time when I basically just open the Bible and start reading, and there was not really a chance to get my heart even ready. Or there would be times when I would go through this. I am going to mark my Bible, and I'd pull my pen out, and I would read until I found something that was worth underlining. If I found it in the first verse, okay, good, I'm done. If I didn't find it to the end of the chapter, I'd read another chapter, but I was marking my Bible, but my Bible wasn't marking me. And I thought, something is wrong with this picture. So preparing your heart. Thomas Watson said this, read it with reverence. Read it with reverence. It's not just the same as a book you would go and find at Barnes & Noble. It's not a book you just simply download at Amazon.com. It's a book that's given to us by the God of the universe. Read it with reverence. I was taught as a kid, when you carried your Bible, nothing went on top of it. So I was taught that. The Bible goes on top of every book because it's the Word of God. I was taught that the Word of God did not go in the back of your car, in the back windshield area. It didn't go there. It didn't go up on the front dash just to sit there and warp in the sun. It was a special book. And when we got our first Bible, it was big time. My dad sort of drilled that into me. Son, you're getting your first Bible. This is not a children's Bible. It's not a storybook. This is the Bible. And it was a big deal. And I remember him just sort of teaching me about the idea of reverencing it. Thomas Watson said it this way, read it in order. That sounds so novel. It really does. But sometimes we're not careful. This is our methodology. Meet with me today, Lord. That's where we're meeting. There's no rhyme. There's no rhythm. It's just whatever happens. He said, read it in order. Get to know the big story. He said this, get a true understanding of Scripture by comparing its parts. Again, that makes sense, but you can't compare the parts if you don't know them. And I was always finding myself in a catch-22. Okay, my little Bible has a cross-reference here, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. And I was trying to figure out Thomas Watson's idea. He said this as well. Read it with seriousness. Read the Bible with seriousness. Persevere in remembering what you read. I don't know if you would be along this same line, but I can confess this morning there have been times after having my morning devotions, I have left and then 5 months later asked myself, what did I just read? Has that ever happened to you? Is that just me? And there wasn't this persevering and remembering what I'd read. That wasn't there. It's like, you know, it was, again, the mentality, check it off, been there, done that. If anybody asks me, did I read, I can show them the list. Truthfully, I can say this, even though I grew up in a preacher's home and my granddad's a pastor as well, I did not develop a daily Bible reading habit till I went to college. I was in Bible college training for the ministry, and I didn't read my Bible every day. It was sort of an oxymoron, something wrong with this picture. And I'd asked a couple friends, hey, could you help keep me accountable? And they were not, yeah, oh yeah, we'll help you, but they never did. We had a guy in our dorm, his name was John. John was probably about 6'4", big flaming red hair. We called him the Christian nightmare. That's what we called him, and for good reason. And I went to John. I knew John had a walk with the Lord. I said, hey, John, I struggle sometimes with reading my Bible. Would you keep me accountable? And John took that as his personal mission in life. I'm telling you, he was very serious about it. There were times I wish I would have asked somebody else. John took it very seriously. I'd be walking up the stairs. We're going to our next class. He'd see me in the hallway. Hey, Mike. I'd duck my head. I see you ducking your head. You know what I'm going to ask you. Did you read your Bible today? Come on, did you? No. Mike, you got 10 minutes before the class starts. Step outside on this stairwell and read something. And he's just the way he was. I appreciate that now. But boy, there were some painful moments then. Trying not just so much getting the most out of the Bible, just getting into it to begin with. But reading it with seriousness and then trying to remember what you've read. That goes along with the next thing Thomas Watson said. Meditate upon it. Like the cow who ruminates upon that which he is chewing and chewing that cud over and over and over again, bringing it back up and getting more out of it. Thomas Watson said, meditate upon it. He said this, read it humbly. Something that he said sometimes that I don't always follow like I should. He said, read it slowly. I'm a very fast reader. I have to be. I read a lot of books each year. As a college professor, I'm always reading and devouring books. My oldest daughter last year, she's going into high school this year, she read, I think it was 280 books last year. My second daughter, I think, was a little bit below her. She was like 220 books. We read a lot in our family. When we go to the library, we take a big cooler and we just dump books in it and we wheel it out. They know us when we're coming. They know us when we're coming back. We're reading family. And to devour that information, I read very quickly. And so as a result of that, sometimes if I'm not careful, I take that to the Word of God. It's okay. All right. Okay. And Jesus went out. And okay, what else did he do? Okay, good. Well, I know that story. And I have to catch myself sometimes. And Watson said, read it humbly and read it slowly. He said this, read it as though it were God's word. Aren't these just basic? Read it as though it's God's word. These are things we'd all sign off and agree to, but sometimes we don't put it into practice. When the rubber meets the road, we don't always practice it. He said this as well, prize it highly, love it ardently, come to it with an honest heart. I found this out a long time ago. I can't hide anything from God anyway. There have been times before I've read the Bible, I've just had to say, Lord, I don't want to read today. Because the passage I'm supposed to read today, I know it's going to convict me. I'd rather just skip it and just come to him. He knows anyway. Lord, would you prepare my heart? Because I am not in a frame of mind like I need to be today. Come with an honest heart. Pay attention to its commands and its promises. Thomas Watson said this, don't stop reading till your heart is warmed. I like that practice too. And then he said this. This wasn't all of them. This was the last one I wrote down. He said, practice what you read. Now, that was 400 years ago. Now, I'm going to let you know a little secret. Not much has changed. If we want to get the most out of the Word of God, these principles still work. His list is pretty thorough. Not much has really changed in 400 years. But to make it a little more relevant, because we don't typically remember a list of 20, I've distilled it down into four principles we're going to walk away with this morning or this afternoon. And hopefully these four principles we can get our minds wrapped around that will help us to understand how to get the most out of the Bible. Let me clarify for just a minute my understanding of this session. The last 2 or 3 years, I have been asked to speak on how to study the Word of God and how to study and prepare for a sermon, how to study and prepare for a Bible lesson, studying it. That's not so much the direction of this year. This year is getting the most out of it. So this year is a little more devotional as opposed to maybe Bible study. So it's a little bit of a different flavor to it. So that's the way I'm coming from it. So by way of introduction, let me say this. If you want to get the most out of the Word of God, this would be the introduction before I give you number one. The introduction would be this. Read it. We'll just start with the basics. You want to get something out of the Word of God? Read it. So well, I've already done that. Read it again and again and again. I set a high goal about 5 years ago. I didn't quite hit it. I got close, but I set this goal. I want to read the Bible through. I want to have read it through 50 times by the time I turn 40. I turned 40 last August. I didn't quite make 50. I think I was somewhere around 44 or 45. getting close, but not quite there. I had just a goal. I wanted to get it. So didn't you read it once? Yeah, there's some books I read once and I give it away. I don't need to read it again. Don't want to read it again. Hope I'm never asked to read it again. Sorry I paid the money for it to read it the first time. But the Bible's a book I can read over and over and over again, and it always speaks to me. And so by way of introduction, if you want to get the most out of the Word of God, let's get the basic down. Let's make sure we're reading it. And then with that said, let's do this. Number one, let's read it faithfully. Let's read it faithfully. I want to ask you a question. I want you to think about it. Then you give me an answer. Which is better? To read the Bible for 1 hour a day, 2 days a week, and that's it. So 2 days a week for an hour a day, so that's 120 minutes of reading. Or to read the Bible every day for 10 minutes, which is only 70 minutes of reading total. What would you say? And then why? Okay, I would say every day, but why? Because in our minds, if we're not careful, we'd say, well, you know, it's 120 minutes and this is only 70 minutes. You're reading more. Why would we say it's better to do it every day as opposed to big chunks all at once?
We eat food every day.
Absolutely. I know it doesn't look like it. I don't miss many meals. Okay, I know I don't have the look that says that guy loves to eat. I do love to eat. It doesn't look like it, but I do love to eat. I don't miss many meals. And I eat in between meals, and I eat snacks, and I try to eat healthy, and I drink a lot of water, and I try to do all this stuff. I don't miss many meals. Years ago in a city newspaper, a man had written in one of those letters to the editor, was talking about why he felt like going to church was a waste of time. He said, I've calculated that I have gone to church a thousand number of times, whatever it was. I forget the number, but many, many thousands of times. And I can honestly say now, looking back, I cannot remember a single message I heard. I would have to say that it has done me no good. And it's just sort of hung there. People didn't know how to respond to that. They started thinking, well, I don't remember really, you know, any messages I've really heard either. If we were to take a survey, some of us may not remember what we heard this morning. And finally, another man wrote into the editor and he said this, Dear sir, I have been married X number of years. It was the same number of years the guy had been going to church. And to date, I have calculated that my wife has cooked for me X number of thousand meals. I can honestly say I don't remember a single menu that she has prepared for me. But I can say this, without it, I wouldn't be here. That's the way I sort of approach the Bible. I may not remember every single thing I have read in the last 30 years of reading my Bible. I may not remember every single thing I've read. But I know this, without reading it, I wouldn't be here. I know that. Read it faithfully. We don't want to snack every 3 or 4 days from the Scripture. We want to live there. And if I want to get the most out of the Word of God, I can't get anything out of it if I don't understand it. And I don't understand it if I don't read it. I've got to read it faithfully. It brings me to my next thought. Number two, let's read it prayerfully. Prayerfully. As I was preparing for this session, it was a little bit convicting. That's one of the reasons I don't always get excited about preparing for leadership conference sessions, because I know I'm going to be personally convicted first. And I know God's going to speak to my heart first. And I know He needs to, but there's just that part of my heart, just like there's a part of yours that wants to pretend like everything's all right. Let's keep it on the front stage. Don't go behind the curtain. And this statement right here that I'm about to tell you was something God sort of wrestled with me about as well. Read it prayerfully. Here's what I wrote down. Do you ever notice it's easy to sit down and read the Bible, but never pray to ask God to help you understand it? I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'll just confess me personally. There'll be times I can just grab the Bible out, just sit there, have it open, or maybe even leading our family devotion time, and we're opening the Bible. And I started thinking about that as I was preparing this. I never once asked God to help me. I did that just by me. I think I missed something. Read it prayerfully. As Baptists, we have a firm conviction that the Holy Spirit gave the Word of God to many moved men to write the words, and every Word of God is inspired. We have these convictions. The Holy Spirit gave it. But sometimes we don't ask the same Holy Spirit who gave it to help us understand it. We'll believe in Him for inspiration, but not so much illumination. David said this in the Psalm 119, verse 18, Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, I'm about to dig into your book. I'm about to dig into your law. Before I do that, would you open my eyes? I think that's a good practice. Sometimes we just want to just check it off. We don't ask God to help us. And as a result, we don't get as much out of it. And we come away saying, oh, the Bible's hard to understand. Granted, there's some parts that are difficult at times. But I find that
when I have the opportunity to ask the very one who wrote it to explain it to me, it sure gets a lot easier. Read it faithfully. Read it prayerfully. Number three, read it actively. I needed an L-Y word. I don't know if that's the right word, but I needed an L-Y word. Read it actively. Here's what I mean by that. A sanctified imagination. That's what I mean by it. When I read the story about Joshua walking around the walls of Jericho, I'm there. I'm walking around with him. I'm quiet. I'm waiting till the trumpets blow, and then I start shouting. I mean, it's like I'm living the book. When they're about to fight the battle at Ai, I'm part of the guys who are back here in the ambush section waiting to jump out and surprise them. I'm reading it as though I was a part of it. Look, when I'm reading this morning from the Gospel of John, I didn't stop and think that was written 2,000 years ago. I read it as though it was written this morning to me. When I'm reading in the Old Testament, I'm saying, well, here we go, another 3,500-year-old story. No, I read it like it's today. Actively. If my mind is not engaged, I won't retain what I'm reading. I want to get as many senses involved as I can when I'm reading the Bible. When I'm reading the Bible to my family, I'll stand and I'll walk around. I won't just sit down. I'll stand and walk. I'm trying to use another sense, and we'll act it. I'll have my kids, if it's part of the narratives, I'll say, all right, now you be this person, you be this person. Let's live this story. We're trying to make the Bible come alive. I want a picture. I mean, by the way, who can't picture David and Goliath? You know? I picture the guy who's wearing somewhere around 200 to 300 pounds of armor. That's what Goliath would have been wearing. 250 to about 300 pounds of armor. And I picture him at 9'9". And I picture an NBA basketball rim at 10 foot. And I picture him 3 inches below it. And I picture maybe him wearing a warrior's hat that goes over the rim. And I picture a guy at 9'9" who's a warrior. I don't picture him as a sort of a skinny guy. I picture him as sort of built. So I don't know. I think he would probably have the spillover routine that we have heard in some of our sessions. I think he probably would have spilt over in some of the airplane seats. Okay. So I don't know. Conservatively, let's say the man weighed 500 pounds. I don't know, but let's say 500 pounds, and let's say he's wearing 250 pounds of armor. You have 750 pounds. Most people say that David would have been about 5 foot, 5 foot two. I say he was 5 foot six, 140 pounds, because that's my size, okay? So I put him as my size. But he's probably 5 foot, 5 foot two. You got a guy that's got 750 pounds at least of weight and body armor running at you. I can feel the ground shaking as he runs, like a mini earthquake. I just picture it. And I see David swinging his little slingshot. I see it going around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And we sing the song. And I picture it hitting it, the stone hitting him in his forehead. And I see him sort of just swirling around and falling down on his face. I picture it all. My mind is engaged. You know what? I don't have to have you teach me that story. It's locked in. I try to do that with as many stories as I can. I love the story of Peter knocking on the door after he's been let out of prison by the angel. And he's knocking on the door, and the servant comes to the door and says, sorry, Peter, we're inside praying that God would release you. And I just sort of had this picture, you know, like he just did, you know. And I just lived the stories. That's what I mean by reading it actively. Our minds really believe that they can multitask, and sometimes if we don't get our minds engaged, they attempt to do that when we read the Word of God. They're multitasking. You're reading about David and Goliath, and your mind is checking off what it's got to do for today on your Franklin Covey list. And so I want my mind actively involved. Well, how can I get my mind actively involved in the text? Here's a couple of three thoughts or so just to get you some thoughts to think through. Number one, keep a journal. And at the end of your reading for the day, summarize what you read. Put in your own words. Don't cut and paste from your computer program. Put in your own words. Today I read this and God spoke to me about this. It'll just help it get locked in. In other words, you're saying, I'm not just going to be content to just read it. I want to have something to meditate. I want to have something to use. I want to have something to take with me. And so the idea of reading it actively, keep a journal. Number two, pretend like you're an investigative reporter and ask questions of the text. Why? When? Where? How? Why did he do this? And why? Where are they going? And where are they coming from? Maybe that means getting out your Bible maps. I know the maps aren't inspired. Okay, I know that. But it is a helpful tool. And open up the back and hold your place here and say, but I want to finish the chapter. But go ahead every now and then and look back to the map and say, oh, wow, Paul went where? Good night. Man, he's traveling some ground. And lock it in and try to picture in your mind what these men are trying to accomplish for the cause of Christ. Read it actively. Ask questions. And then what I've already alluded to, thirdly, imagine you're part of the story. I used to always look forward as a kid to the Battle of Armageddon. In my mind, I was swinging a sword like Peter. I was cutting off not just ears, but I was cutting even hair. I was just swinging the thing wildly, just behind Jesus the whole way. And then one day my dad was reading through the book of Revelation, preaching through the book of Revelation, and he talked about how we were the cleanup crew. You know, Jesus just kills them all with his word, and the blood runs to the horse's bridle. We don't even get to swing a sword. And I said, man, it was so much better in my mind, you know. But read it actively. Just you're a part of the story and just trying to learn it and be a part of it and get wrapped into the pages. So we read it faithfully. We read it prayerfully. We read it actively. Number four, we read it aggressively. Aggressively. When you first start reading the Bible, sometimes just reading two or three verses a day is a good place to start. And you love the Psalms, especially the ones that are 5 or 6 verses. Say, yep, read a whole one. In fact, today was a good day. I read 2. And you love Psalms like Psalm 117 that has 2 verses. And you love Psalms like Psalm 133 that has 5 verses. And you just sort of look through these things. And you look at Psalm 119 and you say, I can break that down into 20 days. And you got your month reading there. And you're like, I'll never be able to read that in one setting. But you just start. But there comes a time when 3 or 4 verses isn't enough. Just like there comes a time for a baby when milk isn't enough. You ever think about how boring a baby's diet is? We have 5 daughters. My oldest one's going to high school. My youngest one's starting kindergarten. We have an active wedding fund we're saving for right now. So we're getting ready for all this. Okay. When my daughters were born, if they could have spoken and we could have had this conversation, I would have asked something like this. What do you want for breakfast? Their answer would have been milk. Okay. How about your mid-morning snack? Milk. Okay. How about for lunch? Milk. Okay. How about your mid-afternoon snack? Let's go with milk. Okay. Supper? Milk. How about before you go to bed? Bedtime snack? Oh, can I have milk? Okay, milk. What do you want in the middle of the night? How's milk sound? It's just a boring diet. That's it. I mean, and then the day comes when you can give them maybe a piece of French fry or maybe applesauce, or you put stuff in a blender that you would never touch yourself. I said, this is good. Just eat it. You know, and they're taking some different kind of food. You're just seeing growth. And by the way, we ought to see that in our Christian life as well. There was a day when I could go brag to my dad, Dad, I read 5 verses today. That's great, Mike. But if I told my dad that today, my dad would just look at me. What? You're not right with God, you know. He just sort of gave me a hard time about it. There's been some growth there. There comes a time when 3 or 4 verses a day doesn't suffice. There comes a time when a proverb a day is not enough. A proverb a day will keep the devil away. Yeah, and there's a lot of wisdom. In fact, one year, for a personal Bible reading goal, my goal was to read the book of Proverbs once a week. I was praying for wisdom for that year. It was one of the things on my top of my prayer list, praying for wisdom. And since Proverbs is a book about wisdom, I read the Proverbs once a week. That's a great goal, but there's a lot more in the Bible than just Proverbs. And I've got to get to that too. And so a proverb a day sometimes isn't enough, or a psalm a day, or 5 psalms a day gets you through in a month. Sure, that's great, but sometimes that wasn't enough. The day will come too when reading your Bible through in a year, not enough. It's just not enough. And sometimes you're at the stage where, man, if I could just read my Bible through even in 5 years and just finish it, that's be an awesome goal. Yeah, there's those times in life as well. But there comes a time as you grow that maybe once a year is maybe not enough to challenge you. I told you I read fast. So for me, and even when I try to slow down and be deliberate, to read 3 chapters a day doesn't take me very long. And that's all it takes to read through the Bible in a year, 3 chapters a day. 1 in the morning, 1 at lunch, 1 at evening. If you do that, and every now and then read 5 or 6 extra verses and move through it, you'll read the Bible through in a year. For me, that wasn't enough to meditate with. I wanted more. I wanted to get more out of it. And so I didn't want to just keep doing the same things over and over again. So I was trying to mix it up a little bit and try to find some different ways to get more out of the Bible. Here's a program we tried, my wife and I, reading through the Bible chronologically. They have these chronological Bible programs you can download, or they have a chronological Bible. And so you're maybe reading Job before you read Genesis, and then you're reading part of Genesis, then you're jumping over here, and then you're jumping back. And it just sort of puts things in a chronological timeline. That was neat to lock some things in place for me. I teach Old Testament and New Testament survey here in the college. One of the requirements if you're going to take my class is you have to read the Old Testament and you have to read the New Testament. I'm not going to teach you if you're not going to read it. You got to do your part too if you're going to get something out of it. So sometime a freshman comes here and from August to December, he's got to read the Old Testament. And some of them have never read the Old Testament in their life. I'm living under grace. I just read the New Testament. I know the stories of the Old Testament. There's David, and he had a son who eventually came from Jesus, and they got all that. But living the Old Testament, it's just sometimes new territory. And sometimes they look at me like when I'm going through Ezekiel, and they're like, "Wow, Ezekiel, man, weird guy." Ezekiel is sort of funny. Ezekiel is told to shave his head. I like Ezekiel. And he's told to divide his hair in three parts. And he's told to sit down in front of the community as they all walk by. Here's the man of God sitting down playing with his hair. He's got a pile here, and a pile here. The one pile he's burning, I would love to be that. I like playing with fire. That would be awesome. I could just imagine myself doing that. Remember, sanctified imagination. There's my hair. And then the other pile over here, he is beating with a stick. He's just beating it. And you're just walking by looking at it. This is the man of God. He's not saying anything. This is just what he's doing. And then the other pile, he's just throwing up into the wind and watching it blow. Do you understand if your local pastor did that today, somebody might look at him a little funny. And they've never even read that story. They're like, man. Or the little cakes he had to eat. Not necessarily in our today's diet, what God asked him to cook with. We would just say, "No, thank you, Lord. I'm glad I'm under the New Testament." And they're sort of reading these stories. Or they read about Hosea and Gomer. Gomer, that's a girl's name? That's like, I've never heard of her, And they're trying to just figure this stuff out. And just learning the Bible. And they'd come to me sometimes after class. "Okay, I'm a little ahead in my reading. I read this in Zechariah. I have no idea what he's talking about. Can you help me?" And I looked at it and said, "Man, I have no idea what Zechariah's talking about either." Sometimes it just feels like it's out there. But just reading the Bible. And so for some, that's where they start. But I want to give you some things to think about, not just chronologically. I think these are in your notes as well, some things to think about. You could actually read your Bible through multiple times a year. And this is what I mean by reading it aggressively. If you read 3 1/4 chapters a day once a year, if you read your Bible 6 1/2 chapters a day, 6 1/2 chapters a day, you read your Bible through 2 times every year. 6 1/2 chapters. 2 in the morning, 2 at lunch, 2 at evening. Or 3 in the morning and 3 at night. And you read your Bible through 2 times a year. If you read almost 10 chapters a day, just round it up to 10, you read 10 chapters a day, you read your Bible through 3 times a year. If you read your Bible through 13 chapters a day, 4 times a year, once a quarter. By the way, let's think about this. If you were reading your Bible through once every quarter, do you think you might get more out of it? Because here's what happens. We start out with a great intention and we're in Genesis. And if you're like the guys who like sort of the battles that you're reading through Genesis, and boy, God did this to them, and then God did this, and then you get into Exodus, and you got Moses doing all this, and man, Moses, lead him. And then you get to the second half of Moses where he just talks about the tabernacle. And it feels like he just put the brakes on. And it's like, this is purple, and this is this color. And I'm reading like, I can't picture it. I'm colorblind. Where's the good stuff? That's sort of where I get stuck at. And then you get through that, and then you get to Leviticus. And you say, the death grave of many good intentions of reading the Bible. And they get to Leviticus. And then you wade through that. Now you're in Numbers and you're marching again and there's battles and God is working. And then you get to Deuteronomy and Moses preaches and says, "You got to get right. I'm about to die." And you got to go in. And then you get to Joshua. And then there's Judges. And then there's a love story, Ruth. That's for the ladies. God had to give that for the ladies. And so that's there. And then you get to the stories about David. And then you get to 1 Chronicles. And you're tempted to do this. Everybody, we got somebody. Next chapter. Right? Come on. Okay, cross that up. And everybody, I can't pronounce any names. I'm glad we don't use those names today. And good. Hey, there's a name I recognize. Let's read that verse. And so sometimes we die in 1 Chronicles. And then we get a little bit further on, and we're hitting Ezra, and we're in Job, and we're hitting Nehemiah, and some of these books, and we're in Psalms, and that's familiar. We're in Proverbs, and then there's Song of Solomon. Oh, that's for the ladies as well. And then we move back in, and then there's Isaiah. We're like, Isaiah, boy, 66 chapters. Man, that's long. I can do this. And then there's Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and there's Lamentations. Lamentations only has 5 chapters. We can do this. But Lamentations maybe have 5 chapters, but it has long verses. Like, why is it taking so long to read Lamentations? And then you get to Daniel. And then you see the end of it. Oh, they're short books. We've made it. Yes. Here's a 3-chapter guy. Haggai, thank you, Haggai. You're a man of God. And you cross him off. And Habakkuk, we love you, Habakkuk. As a kid, I used to think there was a book in the Bible called Tobacco. I grew up in Georgia. A lot of smoking in Georgia. And so I actually thought there was a book in the Bible called Tobacco. I heard somebody open your book. They were saying Habakkuk, but I was hearing Tobacco. I was like, man, there's a book of the Bible called Tobacco. This is awesome. And, you know, just sort of learning your way through it. And then you hit Matthew and you say, oh, here's all these names again. Right there in chapter number 1. Why is he giving us all these names again? And then you start reading through and there's a Sermon on the Mount and Jesus is putting these people in a place. Oh, that's good, Jesus. Stick it to him, Jesus. Stick it to him. And then you get to Luke. Say, Luke, won't you tell me everything you know? 70, 80 verses and 60 verses and tell me every single thing I can't pronounce. And then you get to Acts. All right, the church is alive. And then there's Romans and all this doctrine is there. And then there's 1 Corinthians. Say, hey, they had problems too. And this is good. And then you get to Philippians. Okay. Here comes some of the shorter books. And then you get to Revelation. Say, man, I'm scared to go to sleep at night. You know? Now, what if you could then come right back around 3 months later and read through all of that again? After you've gone through all of those, have you ever done this? Reading through about the divided kingdom and just said, you know what, I don't even know what kingdom I'm reading about right now. I don't know if it's Israel or Judah, but this king wasn't good, and so we'll just wade ourselves through it. But imagine you were reading it through 3 months later and seeing if it could lock back in. You know what? That has helped me. It really has. One of the things that has helped me become a better Old Testament survey teacher was taking the time to read through the Bible multiple times a year, so while it was fresh in my mind, going back through it again and locking those stories in, it just helped me. And I remember the first time I heard somebody say they read their Bible 2 times a year, I said, that's impossible. Can't do it. The Bible is, look how thick that is, and look at the size of the print, and it's got 2 columns. You can't, there's no way. And they broke it down with a chart like this and said, well, if you read 6.5 chapters a day, you can. Really? I can do that. If you read 16 chapters a day, you read your Bible through 5 times a year. You read about 20 chapters a day, you go 6 times a year. You're reading your Bible through every 2 months. The most I've ever done, I think, was 6. I don't think I ever got to 7. I think I tried it 1 year, and I just couldn't keep the pace. I couldn't quite keep the pace of 6. It was like, December 31st, and we're staying up. All right, people are praying in the new year. I'm reading it in. I got to finish. I still got Revelation to go. That was just a lot, and I couldn't do it again. It was a lot. But for many, many years, I'd read the Bible through 3-4 times a year every year. And it just helped me. It really has. And that's what I mean by reading the Bible aggressively. You say, that's impossible. You can't read that much of the Bible in one setting. To which I reply, why does it have to be one setting? We eat 3 times a day. Or 4. Or 5. Why couldn't we do that with our Bible reading? I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if we would go through the Bible multiple times a year, you might find some things that seem vague or whatever, you might start finding your own cross references. That has helped me along the way. Why can't we read our Bible in the morning to start our day, read during the lunch to reorient our day toward him, and then read at night to finish our day with him? We could do that. Imagine reading through the Bible multiple times a year for multiple years. Wouldn't you agree that the stories, the main ideas, the different characters would become familiar? Sometimes I'm nervous that the reason we come to a topic that says how can I get more of the Word of God is we're looking for a quick fix. What's the magic pill? How can I get the most out of the Word of God? There really isn't a magic pill. It's time. It's discipline. It's getting up early with God. It's staying up late with God. It's just diving into the Word of God. Read it aggressively. So we've got read it faithfully. By way of introduction, we had read it. We got to start there. We read it. We read it faithfully. We read it prayerfully. We read it actively. We read it aggressively. And then I want to give you a fifth thought to think about this afternoon. Read it jointly. I know sometimes we think the Christian life is about me as the Lone Ranger. We're on our own. Have no need of Tonto, just me and the Lone Ranger, okay? But the Christian life is not a solo journey. We are told to assemble ourselves together. We are told to admonish one another, to encourage one another. In fact, an interesting study is to read the New Testament and look at how many times you'll see the phrase one another. And just see what God's love one another, encourage one another, exhort one another, provoke one another. You start reading through those things and you sort of get the idea, assemble with one another. You get the idea, God expects us to have sort of a relationship with one another. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. You say, well, don't say that. I don't even talk to my brothers and sisters here. No, no. If you've had a bad relationship with that, don't pull that over into Christian life. We're a community working together. So how do you mean by reading it jointly? Here's what I mean. Why not share your Bible reading with a friend? Why not have somebody have the same reading schedule, reading goal that you have, and just keep each other accountable? Have your Christian nightmare in your life. Where John comes with his flaming red hair and pulls you out and calls you out and says, hey, You said today we're going to read the book of Ruth. Did you read it or did you skip over it because it was a girly book? You know, whatever. Man, I just wanted to get to the battle. No, we're going to read it. That was on the schedule today. Read it. Did you read it? I'm just telling you. There's something about having somebody with you. Brother Sam's on our staff. He's a good friend of mine. He served here for 5 years. Brother Sam's loves to run. And for 5 years, he's asked me to run with him. For 5 years, I have said I don't have peace about it. That's sort of been my goal. Brother Sam's, I don't have peace about that. I don't have peace about it. I don't think that's God's will for my life. And I just really haven't felt any leading of the Holy Spirit in that direction, Brother Sam's. And they have invented cars now, and so I get there much faster. And he just sort of relentlessly kept asking me, so we need to do it. We ought to have the Bible faculty run a race together. I said, yeah, you know, that would be good if God would so lead. And so he's just been relentless. Well, you know what's going. 2 weeks ago, I started running. After 5 years of, here's the Bible word, his importunity. After 5 years, I've started running. And we're training for a half marathon. I don't know why, but we are. Going to run a half marathon. And he says, why don't you run with me? And I said, I'm not ready to run with you yet. I've got my own pace right now. It's running to me. It wouldn't look like running to you, but it's running to me. That's the pace I'm at right now. Okay, that's the pace I'm at. And I have three of my kids that will go with me. One will run with me, and two will get behind me on their bikes. Here's what I've noticed, the differences on my solo runs and the runs when I've got my kids behind me on their bike. I tend to run better when they're behind me. I can't explain it. I can't explain it. Except for the fact that I look over and my 13-year-old daughter's thinking she's going to be dad. She's not beating dad. No, 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 no. I may not walk tomorrow, but I'm winning today. Okay. And so she'll try to push it, and I'll push back. And I look at the clock, and I've got a little app that's telling me my minutes per mile or my miles per minute or whichever way it works. And she's sort of pushing, and I'm sort of pushing it. And I find when I compare those runs when I'm by myself and when my daughter's, come on, Dad, they're behind me on the bike. We got to go a little faster than this. Remember, we're on a bike. I find those times I run a little bit further than I would have by myself. And I can't help but wonder if maybe in our Bible reading program we might go a little further if we do it jointly. Having somebody keep us accountable, somebody who'd go with us. Building accountability in it. How about meeting once a week and instead of discussing your favorite sports team, discussing what you read in the Bible that week? You just might find you're getting more out of it. Building accountability in the reading. Here's one of the things I enjoy when my wife and I are reading the same passage. God shows her things that I don't always see. And God shows me things that she doesn't always see. And we get to share those. And well, that's good. I didn't read it from that perspective. I'm wired totally different than my wife is wired. I don't see things sometimes she sees. And she's wired totally different than I am. And she doesn't look for some of the things that I look for. And so we're just totally different. But when we put the two together, it's like, wow, that's a big picture there. Read it jointly. There's no rocket science in this. If you're looking for the magic pill, take this and tomorrow the Bible will become illuminated in your mind. I can't offer you that. I could give you the list by Thomas Watson of 20 to 25 things, but I don't think we'd remember it. So here's five thoughts for you. Read it faithfully. Read it prayerfully. Read it actively, read it aggressively, read it jointly. And I tell you, if you'll do that over the next year, I think when you come back next year at Leadership Conference, you might have a better handle on the Word of God. And your Bible study will be a little bit easier because the stories are locked in place. And those are some thoughts I hope will be a help to you as we get ready to dismiss. Let's pray, and then we'll get ready for the next session or so in about 15 minutes. Father, thank you for some simple thoughts. But some thoughts that brought conviction to my own heart as I was preparing for this lesson, and some thoughts that I pray would resonate with the hearts and minds of those in this room this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to not just be people who know the Word of God, but that we know the God of the Word. And help us, Lord, to spend time in the Word of God daily, to get everything we can out of it. And I pray these tools will be something that would help us to dig a little bit deeper. For that, Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.